It's called The Black Man Is God. It's called The Black Man Is God. Next album. This is for the children. You know what I'm saying? I got this idea from myself, of course, but this is for the children. I got.
Make this prediction. This will be the biggest upset in all fighting history. The easiest fight of my life.
You think your cousin can whoop me? You really do? Anybody on your watch? Anybody in my family?
He's young. He's handsome.
They know it.
He's a poet, a prophet.
The goal ain't having that. Who would have dreamed from karaoke to cassette? I met OB as an OG in the Jackson. Nah, I was legends, rest in peace, Pop's a legend, Mike Corey and Sean Jordan was the essence of the young chorus where we grew from. Seemed like a second, now they less important to the new sun. I guess today weighs more than yesterday. It's morbid to suggest that they will come for them too. When it's a brother younger than you, who humble and who? Used to coach him, now he coached and blew up, who knew? He caught you on a rough night, you were stumbling through. Now he telling you to get yours, get yours.
All of you reporters made it hard on them.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is Tuesday, June the 2nd of 2026. This is Justin Hicks with the Hip Hop Sports Report Podcast, the preseason podcast of the year. How are you? I hope you are well. Didn't expect to be coming at y'all at this time. We're fresh off the autopsy of the Cleveland Cavaliers season. I'm still not done ranting about James Harden. As a matter of fact, I didn't even get all the thoughts out that I wanted to get on the autopsy. I forgot to even get into the fact that the Cavs still don't really have any wings out there that can compete with the elite wings of the league. And we saw that when Tobias Harris was cooking the Cavs in the early parts of the Detroit series. And I don't even know if I emphasized enough the fact that you cannot win a title with James Harden. It cannot happen. So when I posted that podcast and I had people coming back at me on, you know, on social media and whatnot, there's a lot of people that still didn't seem to get it. Y'all still don't get it. You cannot win with Harden. So they're trying to still defend the Garland thing. I don't know. I'm still in that mode. And then all of a sudden my attention has to shift along with the rest of the collective sports world as Myles Garrett is traded from the Cleveland Browns. It was disappointing. In fact, friend of show, Kyan Hicks, my son, went to school yesterday rocking his Myles Garrett jersey. I sent him to school at 7:45 yesterday, rocking the Garrett jersey. And then in the middle of the day, I had to text him on his watch and say, hey, man, brace yourself. Your boy just got dealt. And I asked him when he came home, I'm like, were you upset about it? He was like, yeah, I was pretty disappointed. He's like, I don't like being a Cleveland fan all the time or something like that. He said, I'm like, dude, you have no idea. You have no idea. And he's not from Cleveland, y'all. So, yes, this is totally my fault. But it stings. That's the point. It stings. It hurts. To lose a player of Miles' caliber, it's never easy. It's never easy to walk away from somebody like that. The word generational gets tossed around quite a bit. It is an appropriate word for Myles Garrett. I just wanted to take a minute to get off some thoughts on the Garrett trade. I jotted them down here. You've heard me do the Hot 16 before. You've seen me write out the Hot 16 where I'd have 16 thoughts on a certain subject. You probably thinking, Justin, you don't have 16 thoughts on the Myles Garrett trade. 16 thoughts. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. 16. And I'm about to run them all down to you right now in this abbreviated, truncated version of the preseason podcast of the year. Number one, I'll just start at the beginning. I was wrong. I was dead wrong. I love to toot my own horn on this show in an attempt to gain a broader following. As it turns out, I was dead wrong about Myles Garrett, because when he was coming into the draft, I got on the podcast with Mark Hicks and we did the mock draft. And I said, you know, I'm not so sure about this dude. He's racked up a lot of stats against bad teams. He didn't seem to really show up in the bigger game. Like, I'm not sold. He's got a great physique, but what is that? Is that necessarily going to translate at the NFL level to the degree that people were saying that it would. You know, he's a workout warrior or whatever, but does he look like Tarzan and play like Jane? Like, that's what we were saying on the mock draft back then. And I was suggesting that the Browns with the number one pick not even take him. That would have gotten me not only fired, I would have gotten thrown in Lake Erie for doing that had I been running the team. Myles Garrett has been nothing short of spectacular in his time with the Browns. He is the best player in the NFL, and I've said that numerous times on this show. I said it to some people just earlier this morning I was talking to, and I'm like, he's the best player in the NFL. And I think I kind of got like a chuckle and a half from one of the guys I was talking to. It's like, no, he's the best player in the NFL. We don't have to mince words. There's no player in the league that's better at their job than Myles Garrett is at his. The Browns couldn't even practice half the time when they got out in full pads and training camp, and the defense is going against the Browns offense. And granted, the Browns offensive line was in shambles from all last year, if even before that, but they couldn't block Miles at all. Like, they couldn't even, they basically had to tell Miles to go half speed just to actually get the playoff so they could practice the play that the offense was trying to practice. There are good defensive linemen and good edge rushers, and then there's Myles Garrett. He is in a class by himself. He's been compared to TJ Watt so many times, and you think about the other great edge rushers. You got your Max Crosbys and your Trey Hendricksons and your Will Anderson. Now, Will Anderson's very good. There is one Myles Garrett, just one, okay? He's the best player in the league, and he's not a quarterback. Who cares? He's the best. So that's the first thing. Secondly, Miles said he wanted out before, and that's a bitter pill to swallow as a Browns fan, but there is that part of you where it's like you sit back and you kind of take in all of the range of emotions of witnessing something like this go down, and it's like, yeah, this guy did say he wanted out last year. So, and not only did he do that, but he embarrassed the city as he did it. Like, he went down Radio Row at the Super Bowl and just trashed the Browns to no end, which, I mean, is it the first time that we've seen one of our greatest stars and one of our greatest sports heroes embarrass the team in a public fashion on his way out the door, only to end up going to Los Angeles? No, it's not the first time we've seen that. I'll come back to that in a minute. But in Miles' defense, he was too good for Cleveland. And it's not all the Browns' fault, because I still saw the vision of Deshaun Watson at quarterback, Nick Chubb at running back, Amari Cooper at receiver, David Njoku at tight end, Denzel Ward at corner, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah at linebacker, and Myles Garrett rushing the passer. What I just described to you, if I went into a time machine and told you that was going to be the core of your team in the year 2022 or 2023, y'all, like everybody would sign up for that. There is no team, there's no scout, there's no GM that would not sign up for that on paper. I promise you. It was all there for the Browns, but it just never quite came together. It never materialized. And even though the franchise and the fans had to suffer through a 1-15 season just to get Miles, we finally looked like we were going to see the end of the rainbow. Miles was very good for a long time, but it still never translated to wins. And it seemed like it was all going to come together once and for all, until it just didn't. Like, it did, like, the injuries happened. Watson's head was never really on straight. I mean, just look at the guys that I mentioned. Amari Cooper, injury. Nick Chubb, injury. Deshaun Watson, multiple injuries. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, injuries. David Njoku set himself on fire. It just could not come together. And so I really feel for Browns fans and even the players that were out there during that time frame. All the pieces were in place, but it never materialized. And sometimes that's just how it happens. But Myles Garrett, you can't really blame him for wanting to move on after 9 years and about 17 quarterbacks who were not good enough. it's hard to blame. Remember the look on his face when Shadur rolled out against the Raiders and threw that dart to Isaiah Bond 50 yards down the field? And he was like, oh, my God. It was like he had never seen a 50-yard pass play before in his 9 years in Cleveland. You can't really blame the guy for wanting to move on last year or this year. Now, I don't agree with how he went about doing it, but even after he signed that extension, you can't really blame him for wanting to move on. So I get that. But Miles is... He's an amazing player. This is the guy who invented the four-point play, as far as I'm concerned. He didn't really invent it, but I coined it the four-point play in football. Third down, when the opposing team's offense is in the red zone, and then Myles Garrett gets a sack on third down to keep them off the field, to get the offense off the field, and all of a sudden they're kicking a field goal. You just saved the team 4 points. Myles did that multiple times last year. I can't count how many times he must have done that in his Browns career. But those four-point plays matter a lot. And maybe they don't count as much as a touchdown does. It's, you know, you're saving 4 points versus scoring 6 points on a touchdown. So maybe it's not quite to the same level, but only Miles was doing this on a regular basis, I promise you. And lucky for Miles, he got everything that he wanted, which is my third point. I mean, like, he gets to go to LA. He gets to be closer to Asia. Seems like him and his girlfriend are gallivanting around Asia quite a bit, Far East Asia. He seems to be into that culture, whatever. He gets a change of scenery, change of conference, change of weather, change of, you know, all that stuff. He's from the South originally, probably dealt with the cold weather, but probably didn't love it. He's going to a warm weather climate, playing indoors in a beautiful new stadium, not the dump that he's been playing in on Lake Erie for the last 9 years, and having to wait for the new stadium to get built in Brook Park next to the airport. No, that's not how that went. So, and he gets to go play with Matt Stafford, who was only got a year or two left, but the Rams were in the NFC title game and were right there on the cusp of going back to the Super Bowl. And this is the team that he's joining. And they traded for Trent McDuffie. And they still have Puka Nacua. When he's got his head on straight, he's one of the best receivers in the league. And, of course, they still have Devontae Adams. And they have Sean McVay. So, I mean, like, this is shaping up to be very, very promising for the Rams. He's going to go compete for a Super Bowl. I don't think people understand how good Myles Garrett really is. And I think they're going to see it real soon. And they may even get to see it with Aaron Donald, because the speculation is that Aaron Donald's now going to come back. Oh my God. That's not fair. Can we just throw a penalty flag on that shit if it happens? We can't have Aaron Donald coming back in the league and playing alongside Myles Garrett. That doesn't seem right. In my opinion, I mean, the Rams are the preseason favorite. I can't say that the Rams winning the Super Bowl is the most likely outcome. I mean, I would take the field over the Rams, but I would take the Rams today over any other team today. And we've seen teams go all in on free agency and trades and things, and it just not work out. So there's no guarantee that this is going to work out for the Rams. And Myles Garrett is 30 now. He's on the other side of 30. He's going to be 31 in December. I get all those things. But I do still believe that Myles is going to be one of the 10 best pass rushers, at least for the next 2 years. So I think he's going to be the best pass rusher this year. Next year, if he's not the best, he's going to be in the top three or four. The year after that, if he's not in the top three or four, he'll be in the top 10. So I think you still have at least 3 good years of him being an excellent football player, an A-level football player. It's just that today he's A++. But my fourth point is, it's a hard sell to the fans that this is the best course of action, because you're still trading away the best player in the league. And I get it. There's a lot of reasons to get into why the Browns did it, but it's just a hard sell. Number five, this move seems to have been done with the Browns thinking about getting their quarterback of the future kind of at the end of that rainbow, so to speak. Now, we've been through this recently. The Browns just, what was it, last year, they ended up trading what was amounts to Travis Hunter for a bounty of picks that included a first-round pick of the Jaguars in the 2026 draft. And the prevailing wisdom at the time was, well, the 2026 draft class is going to be this legendary draft class for quarterbacks. So the Browns want to make sure they have two first-rounders in that draft to either draft one with one of those picks or to have the ammunition to move up, if necessary, to get their guy. And then what happened? the college football season played out, and all those quarterbacks was garbage. Okay, the Cade Klubnik and Drew Aller and Nussmeier and all these dudes that people thought were going to be great weren't great. Even Lenora Sellers had an underwhelming year. Mendoza kind of came out of nowhere. Nobody saw that coming. But a lot of these guys just didn't really pan out and turn into what people built them up to be. Arch Manning had an underwhelming season, even though he probably wasn't going to come out anyways. He could have come out. Maybe he would have if he was awesome. Guess what? He was not awesome. So all these quarterbacks are coming in, and it's like, these guys really aren't that special. And the Browns had these two first-round picks, and it's like, what do you do now? And now what is everybody saying? The prevailing wisdom is that next year's quarterback class is going to be the class. And it's like, come on, y'all. Like, we can kick the can down the road every year here. Maybe the Browns just want to have two first-round picks every single year so that when they know that when their quarterback is there, they have the ammunition and they're ready to pounce. I get that, but they're still just wishing in that scenario because a lot of things have to go right. Dante Moore was pretty good, but he didn't come out. He went back to school. So you don't know if the guy that you are targeting is even going to come out. Arch Manning may not come out this upcoming year. He could go back to school again. Like, you can't just cross your fingers on the quarterback thing and just hope for it to work out. Like, that's not good management, in my opinion. But it seems as though the Browns are trying to position themselves for their quarterback of the future, in spite of the fact that Shedeur Sanders is still on the team. And in spite of the fact that I'm the last guy that's going to ride for Deshaun Watson, I think I can agree that barring an unbelievable MVP-esque caliber season this year, he's not the quarterback of the future in Cleveland. So they have to figure that out. And I'm going to come back to the quarterback point in a second, too. Number six, Jared Verse. Very, very good football player. Very good football player. So it's exciting for the Browns that they're going to get him back. I guess I should take this opportunity to recount the deal in its entirety. So the Rams are getting Garrett. The Browns are getting Jared Verse back, who's entering his third year in the league. They're also getting a first-round pick in the 2027 draft, which I mentioned a moment ago. They're going to get a second-round pick in the 2028 draft and a third-round pick in the 2029 draft in exchange for Myles Garrett. Now, Jared Verse is an excellent player, and if you had to rank the pass rushers, he's probably in the top 5 to 7 pass rushers in the league, maybe 5 to 10 pass rushers in the league today, and he's young, and he's cheap. He's super cheap. He's on a really affordable contract right now, and they have control over his contract for the next 2 to 3 years. And people have pointed that out as being a huge factor into why this deal was made, and I do agree with that to an extent. But two things about Jared Verse. Number one, he's been playing, you know, a lot of people have pointed out the fact that, you know, Myles Garrett has broke the sack record and all this stuff last year, and he did that despite playing on a team that was always trailing. So that means the opposing team got to run the ball a lot late in games. And the Browns had to throw a lot to try to play catch up. If the Browns were a better football team, they'd be leading more late in games and they would be running more while the opposing team would have to throw more, which leaves more opportunities for sacks and forced fumbles and things of this nature by Myles Garrett. Myles is an excellent run defender as well. I think he led the league in tackles for losses also, but that's beside the point. The point is Myles is now going to a team. He recorded 23 sacks this past year on a team that was never in front. Now he's going to a team that presumably will be in front a lot. And it's like, how many sacks is he going to get on that team? But the same people that are making that point, which is a good one, also have to consider that we saw the best of Jared Verse playing in that same situation. So while everybody's saying, well, Jared Verse is a great player coming back, it's like he is a great player coming back. But he also got to play for a team that was in front a lot. And now he's going to be coming to a team that is not going to be in front a lot. In fact, I wouldn't go as far to say that the Browns are punting on this season, but they've made it very clear that winning at all costs is not the priority this year. Otherwise, they never would have traded Myles in the first place. So how good is Jared Verse going to be in this defensive scheme where a double team will take him out of a play, not like Myles Garrett? You can't double Myles Garrett and take him out of a play. He can still beat your double team and get a sack or get a pressure. I don't know if Jared Verse is built like that to do that on a regular basis like Myles was. So that's one thing. The second thing is I pulled up Jared Verse's career statistics through 2 years. He's got 12 sacks in his career, y'all. 12. Okay? Great player. I'm not saying he's not a great player. It's a great get for the Browns to get him back in the deal. He's got 12 sacks in his career. Myles Garrett did that in a month last year. He got like 15 in a month, I think, didn't he? Or something crazy like that. I mean, that's not... These dudes aren't even on the same planet. Like, I'm so convinced that Miles is so much better than every other edge rusher, even at his advanced age. I mean, Jared Verse is very good, but Miles is on another level. Miles had more than double the sacks that Jared Verse has in his career in one season. Or close to it. I shouldn't say more than. It was close to it. He had 23 sacks for the year. Verse had 12 in his career. I mean, that's almost double in 1 year. So, yes, we can be excited about Jared Verse in Cleveland, and he's a great player, and he's, again, one of the 10 best pass rushers in the league, and he's young and cheap and all that. He's not anywhere close to Myles Garrett. But number seven, I can see the vision. I see the vision. When you look at the young core of the Browns, you're thinking like, okay, we're gonna have Jared Verse to go with Quinshon Judkins, to go with Harold Fannin, to go with Carson Schwechinger, to go with McNeil Warren, who they just picked up at safety, who looks promising, to go with Grant Delpit, to go with Tyson Campbell, to go with a revamped offensive line with Spencer Fanoh at left tackle, to go with Casey Concepcion and Boston, the receivers that they drafted. So they drafted a lot of good pieces in these last 2 years, and it is a youth movement in Cleveland. And Jared Verse is now going to be at the center of that. So I respect that. And they may even have the quarterback, quiet as kept, maybe. So I see that vision. Having said that, given what I just said about Jared Verse, I don't think the Browns got enough back. I don't. I don't think they got enough back in this trade. And if you ask me, the asking price should have been Verse and 2 first-round picks. That's where we start the conversation. Some of you may be listening and saying, Justin, you're overrating your own guy. You're overrating your own players. Every fan does that or whatever. He's the best player in the league, y'all. What's the best player in the league worth to you in a deal? What is winning the Super Bowl worth to you in a deal? The Rams' entire ethos, the entire mantra of that franchise and their outlook on football operations is F them picks. F them picks is everything that they stand for. You can't tell me that they couldn't have squeezed an extra first rounder out of that trade. Because they are in the driver's seat to go to the Super Bowl and win it this year. They're now the betting favorite to win the Super Bowl this year after the Miles trade. They have the reigning MVP and they have the reigning defensive player of the year on their team. That means they have the best quarterback and the best defensive player on their team right now in LA. The Super Bowl is being played in SoFi this year, this upcoming season. All the eggs should have been in a basket. They said the Rams were persistent. Somebody said the Rams have been calling for years on Myles Garrett. And they were trying to like hold on to Jared Verse and like not include him in the deal. But then that was the tipping point that caused Andrew Berry to pull the trigger on it for the Browns. To me, it's like, no, Jared Verse should have always been in the deal. And then the second first round pick should have been the tipping point. Because to me, who's the more desperate team? The Browns aren't trying to win the Super Bowl this upcoming year. The Rams are. The Browns still look at Miles as a key component of their team. He's the linchpin of the defense, and he's going to be good for the next several years, even in 2 and 3 years when the Browns are ready to turn the corner as a franchise and as a team. Miles will still be among the best defensive players in the league, barring good health. So the Browns were in no position to be desperate to make this trade, in my estimation, even at Miles' age and contract. The Rams were the ones that had to get desperate. They're the ones competing with 2 other playoff teams in their own division. They're the ones who have a team in their own division that won the Super Bowl last year and beat them in the conference championship game. The Rams were the ones that did not draft an edge rusher in the draft this year. The Rams are the ones who have a clock on Matthew Stafford. They're the ones who are worried that Sean McVay may go into TV. There were so many reasons as to why the Rams should have been the desperate party here, not the Browns. So telling me that you're going to get a second and a third round pick in addition to one first rounder in Miles, it's good. I heard Tony Rizzo on ESPN Cleveland say it was barely enough of a return. And I think that's a good description. Barely enough. I mean, like, yeah, you could say that it was a good haul back. But people who are saying that it was this great haul, I don't necessarily believe that. Because number eight, Myles Garrett is, again, not only is he the best player in football, in my opinion, he's the best defensive player since who? Maybe Aaron Donald. Take Aaron Donald out of the equation. How many defensive players this century are better than Myles Garrett? It's not a long list, in my opinion. It's not a long list. You think of guys like Patrick Willis and Luke Kuechly and Ray Lewis, Ed Reed. Okay, I'll give you Ray Lewis and Ed Reed. You know, I'll give you Aaron Donald. That's three guys. Like, it's a short list of players, defensive players, in the last 25, 26 years that are better than Myles Garrett. He's the best defensive player in Browns history. He's the best player currently going. He's coming off his best season. So the asking price and the haul should have been exorbitant. It should have been one of the greatest hauls we've ever seen. And some people are saying that the Browns got more back for Travis Hunter. They got a first. They traded the number two pick, which was Travis Hunter, for a first in that same draft, a first the following year, a second round pick in that same draft, I think a second the following year. Like, that's a lot of picks back. Now, they didn't get a player like Jared Verse. But I cannot be convinced that the Browns could not have gotten more back. Now, I'm curious to know, number nine, how many picks would have been involved if Jared Verse wasn't in the deal? Maybe, because the rumor was that the Rams wanted to make it an all-picks deal and they wanted to retain Jared Verse. If I'm the Browns, I would have demanded Verse and multiple firsts. That would have been my asking price. Micah Parsons got traded by the Cowboys at 26 years old, even though he was not as good at 26 as Garrett is today. Micah Parsons got traded for two first-rounders and a good player in Kenny Clark on the defensive line. I would take Jared Verse over Kenny Clark, but Kenny Clark was good, and they got two first-rounders out of it. Mind you, the Rams are trying to win the Super Bowl, so that pick that they're going to give us is probably going to be at the end of the first round. And granted, we don't know how it's going to pan out. I recognize that. We don't know. But if I were a betting man, I would say that pick by the Rams is probably going to be somewhere between 25 and 32. So you traded for Jared Verse, who has 12 career sacks, and a first-round pick, which is going to be between 25 and 32 most likely. And even the second-round pick and the third-round pick, there's no guarantee that those picks are going to be earlier in those rounds either. Now, Miles had a no-trade clause. So how many suitors for his services were there really? We don't exactly know. We don't exactly know. Because for all we know, Myles Garrett would have been turning down trade proposals left and right, but I find it hard to believe that the Browns could not have said, we're making Miles available. Who wants him? Do the Eagles want him? Do the Bears want him? Do the Rams want him? We want a defensive stud back in return and multiple first-round picks. You can't tell me that somebody wouldn't have done that. I just refuse to believe that nobody would have made that trade. And that brings me to number 10. I got into an argument, a Twitter argument, with Charles Robinson. Now, some of you may be wondering, who's Charles Robinson? Well, I'm about to tell you. He is a former senior NFL reporter at Yahoo Sports. So he's not with Yahoo anymore. I thought he still was. He's got 118,000 Twitter followers. I've been following him for a while. He does good work. So shout out to him for even having the discourse online yesterday. But I'm going to read you what Charles Robinson and I said back and forth to one another. Charles Robinson said, some context on the Myles Garrett trade. I believe the Browns internally think they're one more offseason from completing the bill. The defining factor here was netting effectively three first-round picks of value for Garrett. Verse is still an ascending young star that carries the value of two firsts. That's key. He said Jared Verse carries the value of two first-round picks. The icing on the cake was the Browns being able to add another first in 27, add that to their own, give them the ammunition and flexibility should their quarterback room not yield a long-term starter. I said, in response, I quote tweeted him and said, Verse plus one first at the end of the round is not enough for the best player in football, especially considering the Rams are on a clock with Stafford. Again, talking about the desperation that should have been there with the Rams. He responded, The Browns are also netting a second rounder in 2028 and a third rounder in 2029. I said, that's obviously better, but as good as Jared Verse is, not getting a second number one back for the best player in the NFL feels like a mistake. The Cowboys got two firsts and a good player back for Micah Parsons. The Rams were probably more desperate to make this move than the Browns. He said Micah Parsons was 26 years old when the Cowboys traded him. Miles is 30. That's not an irrelevant gap. I said 100% true and a valid point. And even with that age gap, Miles at 30 is still better than Micah Parsons at 26. How much does winning a Super Bowl mean to the Rams? Because they're the clear favorites now. The Browns should have held out for a second first, but they clearly wanted to turn the page on Miles. Shrug. He said, you're asking the wrong question. What better deal did the Browns have on the table for Garrett, and will he be worth more when he's a year older in 2027? Are Browns fans not cognizant of how rich the 27 draft is going to be? If QB ends up being a need, this is vital ammo. And I said, that's a question for Andrew Berry. So you talk about I'm asking the wrong question, you're asking the wrong person the wrong question. That's a question for Andrew Berry. I don't know what offers are on the table, but you could have said the same thing about Garrett coming off his season in 24, that what's his value going to be and he's a year older? Because that's when Miles asked to be traded and they didn't trade him. I said, the Browns brought him back in 25 and he had the best season of his career at 29 years of age. And all we did was hear about the richness of the 2026 quarterback class in 2025, but that did not quite pan out. So, he seems to be very high on Jared Verse. And again, I want to emphasize, it's not that I don't like Jared Verse. I think he's a great young player. And I would have demanded him back in the trade as well. Is he worth two first-round picks on the open market? I don't know. I don't necessarily believe that. I think he'd be worth a first and change. And I understand his contract being what it is at this point on his rookie deal factors into that. But I'm not convinced that Jared Verse is worth two first-round picks. I'm not convinced of that. The guy with 12 career sacks, I'm not convinced of that. And you're trading for essentially a Super Bowl in your home stadium. That's what you're trying to trade for. And even potentially Aaron Donald coming out of retirement. You're going to get all of that, plus the best player in the league in the trade. Yeah, the Browns should have held out more. I'm sorry. Like, they should have held out. Like, if you're telling me that this is just ammunition for the QB class to get Arch Manning or Dante Moore, like, those guys are that good. Like, I'm not convinced that those guys are that good. And I'm not convinced that Jared Verse is, you know, again, very good player, but is he anything close to Myles Garrett? Is he 70% of Myles Garrett? Is he 80% of Myles Garrett? I don't know. So while I recognize that GMs look at this stuff differently from fans, and I recognize the cost control point means so much more to somebody like Andrew Berry than it does to most fans, I'm just not convinced that the Browns got all that they could have gotten out of trading away their biggest trade chip. This is their biggest trade chip. Give me two firsts and a good player. I don't think that that's outlandish for the best player in the league. Moving right along, number 11. We're still overrating quarterbacks, as evidenced by Charles Robinson's responses to me. We're still talking about quarterback this and quarterback that. And I'm like, yo, why are we still talking about the quarterbacks in this upcoming draft class? You think Arch Manning is that good today? You think Dante Moore is that good today? Where's the evidence of any of that? Who are the Browns going to get in the draft that is going to offset losing the best player in the league? I'll wait. Because here's the thing. Even if you get a really good quarterback, you're probably not going to get the best quarterback in the league. If you told me that whoever they draft is ultimately going to be one day the best quarterback in the league, then yes, obviously the trade was a slam dunk and it was worth it. Short of that, I'm not seeing it because we're still overrating quarterbacks. Josh Allen's been the best quarterback in the league for a few years. He's won nothing. Okay? Some people believe Mahomes is the greatest quarterback in the league. He missed the playoffs this year. Lamar Jackson's won multiple MVPs. He's never made it to a Super Bowl. Joe Burrow is a great player. He's made it to one Super Bowl. Matthew Stafford's a great player. He won one Super Bowl, has never been to another one, and spent most of his career outside the playoffs. When are we going to stop overrating quarterbacks, y'all? Tom Brady is gone. He's never coming back. That was the one guy who was like, if we have that guy on our team, we have a shot to win the whole thing every single year. And we know that now by looking back at his career, and half of his career he spent in the Super Bowl. Even if you had a guy like Peyton Manning, Peyton Manning is not, you know what I'm saying? He's not Brady, but Peyton Manning, you felt like you had a chance to win the Super Bowl with Peyton Manning every single year he was your quarterback. And it was legit. But now look at these teams. Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts. I like Jalen Hurts. I think he's underrated. But Jalen Hurts towards the end of last year could barely complete a pass 10 yards down the field. People like Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert embarrasses himself every year when he gets in the playoffs. There's no prime Aaron Rodgers out there anymore. There's 44-year-old Aaron Rodgers. You got that. You don't have prime Aaron Rodgers anymore. So this obsession with quarterbacks, thinking that all your problems are going to be solved. If the Browns get their quarterback of the future in this upcoming draft, it's probably going to be somebody who's between the 4th best and the 10th best, 12th best quarterback in the league. That's more than likely the best you can hope for. Maybe you hit the lottery and you get Josh Allen. But what has Josh Allen ever won? You need a complete team. And as I said on the last podcast and the mock draft, the Seahawks proved that you can build the team first and then install a pretty good quarterback second and win the whole thing. Sam Darnold's nothing special, but Sam Darnold just won the Super Bowl. He's nothing special. He's good. He ain't special. So the idea that we just need to mortgage the entire future, or that you have to give up the best player who is a pass rusher and not a quarterback to get the quarterback of the future, I don't believe that. Stop overrating these guys. Number 12, what does it mean for the Browns? Well, Todd Monken probably feels a lot better in the sense that he doesn't have to deal with the headache of Miles potentially being unhappy and not wanting to be on the team. At the same time, he just lost the best player. He just lost his best player. So I don't know how thrilled he's going to be. There's definitely going to be less drama around the team because I think we're now focused. I will say that the Browns, again, they have a clear window in mind with the time horizon of their team. And Miles didn't fit that. As much as I loved him as a player, he didn't fit that. So I get it. There's been a lot of speculation that Deshaun Watson is leading the race for quarterback in camp right now, and he will be the starting quarterback come week one. Now, I'm one of the last guys that think that Deshaun's got something left in the tank and he's got a lot to prove, but he's really trying to prove it for the next team, because odds are he's not going to come back to the Browns after this upcoming season. In which case, you might as well play Shedeur Sanders. At this point, like, you could have talked me into starting Deshaun Watson and letting him be the guy with Miles on the team. But with Miles out of the picture, it's hard for me to foresee, you know, not playing Shedeur at all. Because to me, Shedeur did enough last season to earn the right to get back in there this year and to see what he can do with a full offseason, full training camp, better weapons, better offensive line, new head coach, like all those things. I just feel like Shedeur has earned that right, and we should see it. We should see what it looks like. But we're not going to see what it looks like if Deshaun's out playing him and he's there the whole season. And I don't think money alone, Deshaun making more money, is reason enough to not see what you have in Shedeur. Unless they already think that they know what they have in Shedeur, and they don't like it, in which case they should trade him anyways. Because if they're making all these moves to get their quarterback of the future, then that means that Shedeur, who's still on the roster, is not the guy. So you might as well get rid of his drama and all his sycophants that are constantly hyping him up and just get him off the team too. What's the point of having Shedeur be a backup if that's the case? You might as well have Deshaun and Dylan Gabriel and just roll with that then. I mean, I think I love having both Shedeur and Deshaun on the team. At this point, I would rather see Shedeur be the guy, at least initially, like get him the first crack at it. And then if he fails or gets hurt or whatever, bring Deshaun in. And I still believe in Deshaun, but now with Miles off the team, I feel like it's a youth movement, so you might as well don't take a half measure, complete the process, go full-on youth movement, put Shedeur out there, because I'll tell you what, here's number 13. My dream scenario is not for us to use these picks to trade up to draft our quarterback of the future. My dream scenario is to use these picks to move into position to get Jeremiah Smith. Perfect. You get Jeremiah Smith in Cleveland with KC Concepcion and Denzel Boston and Harold Fannin. You put any quarterback under center with that type of weaponry and a revamped offensive line with some youth on its side. Now you're talking. Now you're looking like what Seattle did. Seattle had a good offense, and then they put Sam Darnold in place. Now, maybe Shedeur Sanders will never be as good as Sam Darnold, but I would like to see what Shedeur would look like in this offense with these pieces in place currently and Jeremiah Smith. Now, I think it's highly unlikely that Jeremiah Smith will end up on the Browns, but especially since they just spent two high picks on receiver, but Jeremiah Smith's probably going to go to Canton, y'all. So it's like, you don't have to spend it on Dante Moore. You don't have to spend it on Arch Manning. Why do we think Arch Manning is great today? We don't know that. Take away his last name and he's just another guy. We know Jeremiah Smith is a legend in the making. So you pair him with Shedeur Sanders or any quarterback. You could bring Watson back for all I care with Jeremiah Smith and the rest of the weapons that the Browns have. It has the potential to be awesome. That's my dream scenario, not to trade up to get the quarterback. Okay, a couple last things. These should be real quick, and then we're going to get out of here. Number 14, we need to retire the word fleece. I'm so sick of people using the word fleece on social media. I don't think y'all know what that means. But people are so quick to say, oh, so-and-so got fleeced. This team got fleeced. They got fleeced. It's like, shut your dumbass up. Y'all don't even know what fleeced means. Okay? Fleeced is like, you know, one team totally outclassed the other in the trade. I'm not even saying that that happened in this case. I think that the Browns could have gotten more back. Yes. Yes. But do I think the Browns got fleeced? No. They got three picks. They got a first. And they got a great young player. So, no, they didn't get fleeced. I just think they could have gotten more. But just because you lost the trade, quote unquote, doesn't mean you got fleeced. And that's the – people are idiots. That's why they all take to this, like, you know, everything has to be to the nth degree. Everything has to be hyperbole at all times. And so it's like, let's retire that word from the lexicon because people are dummies and they don't know how to use it. And while we're retiring stuff, number 15, can we retire the immediate post-trade think pieces that everybody writes about who won the trade and who lost the trade, apart from the fact that it's obviously idiotic because we don't know what the future holds, much like the Deshaun Watson trade that everybody says the Browns lost, but none of those picks on the surface turned into anything for Houston, so how do we know that Houston won the trade so overwhelmingly? They didn't. But beyond that, every time they write one of those trade pieces, the team that always won, quote unquote, won the trade is the team that got the draft picks back. But here's what we know about draft picks. Most of them don't pan out. Most of them do not work. Most of them crap out. Most of them are just average players. Even the high first round picks, most of them are just average ball players or dudes that end up out of the league in a few years. There's a handful of guys that turn into Pro Bowlers, and there's a smaller handful that turn into All Pros, and there's even a smaller handful that turn into Hall of Famers. But you're not guaranteed anything just because you have a lot of draft picks. So stop saying that the team that got the most picks back won the trade. The best player in the league just got traded, and I saw an article on ESPN saying that the Browns got an A. And the Rams got like a C-. It's like, they got the best player in the league. How'd they get a C-? They're trying to win a Super Bowl. Like, that doesn't make any sense at all. I don't even need to read the piece. That's dumb. You got the best player. You didn't lose the trade. Okay? Maybe it worked out for both teams, but you didn't lose the deal if you just got the best player in football. That's idiotic. And the Browns won the trade. Why? Because they got a third-round pick in 2029? Get the hell out of here, man. Like, come on. What are we doing? Enough with those pieces. And lastly, and I'll sign off with this. There is still no harder job in sports than being a Cleveland sports fan. I'm here to tell you. Even when Cleveland has something good, they had to suffer through 1-15 to get Myles Garrett. And he ended up breaking the single-season sack record. And they carried him off the field, and that was the last time he ever put on a Browns uniform. And it's like, even when they have something good, LeBron James from right in the backyard, up, he embarrasses the team and leaves. Up, he comes back and he wins him a championship. All is good. Up, he leaves the team again after he said he wouldn't. Or he didn't say he wouldn't, but he made it very clear that it was bigger than basketball is why he came back. Then why did you leave again? You know what I'm saying? Even when things seem to work out, it doesn't for Cleveland. And it drives me crazy as someone who's from that area. How many times are we going to see Cleveland act as a farm system for the rest of America? Whether it's Jim Tomey and Manny Ramirez and Albert Bell, or it's LeBron James, or it's Myles Garrett. guys just leave. They just leave. They don't. They rarely do they stick around. And I get it. Like, things haven't worked out for most Cleveland teams, and there's a variety of reasons as to why that is. It's just frustrating for the fans. How often are we going to see New York kick our ass in the playoffs? How many times are we going to see LA get our best players? They got LeBron James. They got Darius Garland for James Harden. Are you kidding me? We took back James Harden. They got a 26-year-old All-Star. And now we're giving them Myles Garrett. I don't know, man. It sucks. It's painful. And, you know, you don't want it to be like an emotional thing, especially at my age. I'm a lot older than Myles Garrett, so it's like I shouldn't be looking at it this way anymore. But I do have kids, and my kid had a Garrett jersey, and, you know, I was proud to buy him that jersey. And when you look back on it, you know, I've mentioned to y'all, I took him on the day before his 10th birthday. We went to the game in Chicago this past season where it was like literally 10 degrees outside. It was the coldest I'd ever been in my life. And my son and I sat there for the entire game, and the Browns got slaughtered. It was like 30-3 was the final score, something like that. And the only cool things that we really got out of that as Browns fans was watching Shador hit two long passes in that game, which my son is a Shador fan. So we got to see Shador hit a couple long bombs, and Myles Garrett got a sack that day. And when Myles Garrett broke the sack record against the Bengals, my son came into the bedroom. He's like, "Did he break the record yet?" And I'm like, "Not yet." And then like two plays later, he broke the record, and we were hugging each other and jumping up and down. That's what we had to cheer about. He's by far the best player the Browns have had in the 9 years that he's been here. Only Joe Thomas rivals him in the best Browns players of the last 25, 26, 27 years since they came back. He's one of the great Browns in history, and I got to celebrate and watch him break that sack record with my son, and we, like I said, jumped up and down, hugged each other, and were cheering, and it was awesome. And now we can look back and say we saw a piece of history, because we saw Myles Garrett get a sack in that Bears game that was one of the sacks that he got that went on to him breaking the sack record. So we have a tiny sliver of history that we got to witness as father's son. And now Myles is gone. And so that part sucks. But the hope is that with this very Cleveland Guardians-esque move, and, you know, some people believe you trade a guy a year too early before a year too late. And if you believe in that philosophy, then the Browns did the right thing moving him. But it's painful. But this is what it is. This is what we signed up for. This is our lot in life as Cleveland sports fans. I talked a lot longer than I intended to, but that is never a surprise. Thank you all for listening. We'll holler at y'all pretty soon. We got another mock draft coming up. We got the NBA Finals coming up. Knicks and Spurs, my official prediction. Knicks in six. I think that the Spurs are better, but I think that the youth of the Spurs will ultimately do them in on this stage and in that arena at MSG with that energy. And even though I don't believe shoot-first point guards can really win championships, somehow I feel like the Knicks are going to stumble into it. Hopefully I'm wrong, because I'd rather see the Spurs win. But we'll talk more about that. We'll talk more about the mock draft with the NBA coming up. And again, we appreciate y'all listening. Check us on hiphopsportsreport.com. Find us on social media, Twitter, Facebook. We love y'all. Thank y'all for tuning in and for rocking with us. Myles Garrett, adios. And we'll talk to y'all soon. Peace. Never write about me like him.